I'm not a great fan of PowerPoints, so I think I'll just talk, and if there's any statistics that I mentioned, you can always look them up on the website. And I'm going to keep my remarks very brief because I'd really like to spend more time listening to things people in this audience might have to say. About 5 years ago, Lanny Smith and I were having one of our very infrequent lunches together, and we were sort of bemoaning the fact that in terms of the corporate agenda in health, it's an international agenda. It speaks with one voice. You can travel to Morocco or Bolivia, and it's the same plan being foisted on countries. But the progressive forces in the world tend to speak with local voices, and they don't know about what's going on in other places. Sort of out of that conversation, and the fact that I knew that the Open Journal software existed for free on the web, we came up with the idea of trying to start a journal. But our goal from the beginning was that we didn't want to start a journal in English. We wanted to start at least a bilingual journal. And fortunately, Lanny has lots of contacts at ALAMAS, which is the Latin American Social Medicine Association. And we were very fortunate that they were interested in this. If we go back, you can see the name. Is there a way to go back here?
Yes.
Good. So, and actually, I was going to mention that Florencia, who's sort of my my Mexican sister, mi hermana, at this moment is actually preparing for what's going to be the second Mexican conference of social medicine, and she couldn't be here today, which is sad, because every weekend Florencia and I sit down and discuss what we're going to do with the journal. We use Skype, and we've had times when we've had somebody from Pune, India, someone from Hanoi, someone from Uruguay, someone from Mexico, and someone from New York on those telephone calls. I must admit that, you know, if you've ever worked with Skype, there's a lot of falling out, but we actually have managed to make that work. And we started off mainly having English-speaking people read the journal, but now probably about 60% of the articles that are downloaded from the journal are in Spanish, because the folks in Latin America have really seen this as a resource. As I mentioned, we use the public knowledge, we use Open Journal software, which is produced by Simon Fraser at University. It's a clunky software, but it does the things that an academic journal needs to. It allows you to do peer review, all the steps of proofreading, copy editing, and you really can almost do this for nothing. We have translation costs that really are our big expense, but other than that, it would just cost you $100 to rent a spot on a website and you could run a journal. We, however, as I said, are very committed to publishing something that's bilingual. And I think that we've been somewhat successful in getting stuff from Latin America published that otherwise wouldn't get out into the English-speaking world, and vice versa. We were actually able to publish, thanks to the generosity of the science history publications, the text of the famous report by Virchow on the epidemic in Silesia, which is kind of interesting to actually go and read it. As Howard was saying, it's the same things that the WHO Social Commission on the Determinants of Health is talking about. And it's really kind of ironic, because in a sense, the thinking in the 1800s was far more radical and far more bold than the thinking in the year 2008. We've just published our 10th issue. We've had about 80 articles published. There have been a couple of articles that we've only published in one language. We were, for example, able to obtain a copy of Salvador Allende's health program in Spanish. It's about 180 pages long. It begins with the preface that capitalism is the cause of you know what I'm talking about. Capitalism is the cause of the diseases of the people. And based on that premise, he then develops the health program for when he was running for president. That's 180 pages. That's up in Spanish only. And Walter Lear has kindly allowed us to publish some of his rare documents, and those should be up soon. Those will probably be only in English. Now, it has been gratifying, I think, to see some collaboration, cross-fertilization of ideas. One of the people we work with in India heard that we were publishing materials about the takeover of Lincoln Hospital. That was a takeover that occurred in 1970. And he said, well, you know, the workers in our hospital are thinking about taking over the hospital. But we're not really sure what we're going to ask for. Now, the reason was because, you know, they were going to privatize the hospital, and the workers didn't want to have the hospital privatized. He said, but on the other hand, no one really wants to defend the old system. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. So let me tell you what the workers at Lincoln Hospital did. And I ran off the 6 or 7 demands by the workers when they took over Lincoln Hospital, which included daycare for the workers. I think they wanted a minimum salary of $100 a week. They wanted to see the hospital engage in programs for community outreach. And of course, the one thing, they got all their demands met except for one, which was worker and community control over the hospital. It's very, very interesting that that was the thing that they weren't allowed to have. This year so far, we've had 56,000 articles downloaded from the journal. Again, probably about 60% of them in Spanish. And that's quite a bit more than we had last year. We've been able to publish a number of classic texts, both in English and in Spanish, and a number of them from Latin America. And our goal over the next year is to get listed in Medline. That's actually what we're in the process of negotiating and applying for now. There are challenges, and I'll just mention some of them quickly. It's going to be difficult for us to find long-term financing. If we weren't translating everything, that wouldn't be such an issue, but paying for translation is an issue. And it's quite difficult to be a bilingual journal. I mean, it sounds very simple to do, but to actually publish articles at the same time in two languages is extremely daunting. Another challenge for us has been using peer review as a mentoring process. You know, we get some really excellent articles. Someone sent us a fabulous article from Mexico showing that the areas in Mexico with the highest rates of child malnutrition were where they were growing coffee. And this is a really great article, but it wasn't ready to be published, and it's taken us a long time to do that. Okay, I'm not going to go over my time. We are hoping actually to expand into other parts of the world. There's some serious discussion going on with the journal in Brazil. And someone has actually offered to publish a number of articles in Arabic, an idea that I think is really great, and I hope we can make that happen. The last thing in terms of the specifics of publishing a journal is journals are very slow. I'm sure anybody here who's ever published an article in a journal knows that. And one of the challenges, I think, is for us to be able to get information up quickly within the structure of an academic journal. So even though we had technical problems today, a lot of technology does in fact allow us to do things that we might otherwise not do, like create this kind of a journal. And one of the topics that I would be interested in hearing people's thoughts on is ways in which people from the United States can collaborate with people overseas sort of in a non-imperialist way, in a way that creates solidarity, and what might be the basis for such a collaboration and what might be its forms. Thank you very much.